For example, women who think that God wants them to be celibate may really be helping their brothers and sisters raise more children, thus spreading their own shared genes, according to the key neo-Darwinian theory of inclusive fitness. There is no way to disprove such a claim because the religious celibate's unfeigned disinterest in spreading her genes is completely irrelevant. Her genes, not she herself, are the alleged actors in the piece. In this respect, selfish gene theory was a great advance over Freudianism. The Freudian typically insisted that the religious celibate had unconscious sexual motives. Perhaps so, but most religious celibates have strong conscious motives as well, and it was never clear why unconscious motives should be assumed to rule. Eliminating human motive altogether greatly simplifies matters for the reductive materialist. But, of course, many found the selfish gene simplistic, unfalsifiable, and, this is the big problem, unrepresentative of what we actually know of human nature. As philosopher Jerry Fodor writes, "Over the years, people keep proposing theories that go, what everybody really wants is just fill in the blank." Versions fashionable in their times have included money, power, sex, death, freedom, happiness, mother, the good, pleasure, success, status, salvation, immortality, self-realization, reinforcement, penises in the case of women, larger penises in the case of men, and so on. The track record of such theories has not been good. In retrospect, they often look foolish or vulgar or both. Maybe it will turn out differently for what everybody really wants is to maximize his relative contribution to the gene pool. But I don't know any reason to think that it will, and I surely wouldn't advise you to bet the farm. Of course, in fairness, Dawkins is not saying that everybody wants to spread their genes, but that everybody's genes want to be spread. On the other hand, he insists, genes don't really have purposes. He also concedes that humans can have purposes unrelated to reproduction. But that raises the question, what is the conceptual use of the selfish gene? What does it predict, rather than postdict? As Fodor notes, "The scientific worldview does not entail that writing The Tempest was a reproductive strategy. That's the sort of silliness that gives it a bad name. First blush, there seem to be all sorts of things that we like and like to do for no reason in particular, not for any reason that we have, or that our genes have, or that the Easter Bunny has either."